All right, open your Bibles once again to the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1. We're going to continue our study through this little book. Once you find that, put your finger there and then turn back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 5, Paul said, "For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness." Down in verse number 6, he continues, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others." Notice three things that we find in these two verses that the Apostle Paul said concerning his own ministry. First of all, he says that he never told people what they wanted to hear. He told them what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. He didn't use flattering words, telling them how good they are and how wonderful they are and how spiritual they are. He just told them the truth. He just preached the truth to them. Didn't use flattering words. We also find that he never used the ministry for personal financial gain. It was not a cloak of covetousness that motivated him in the work of the ministry. And we also find that he never sought fame or popularity as a result of being in the ministry. God's true ministers still follow that same example. They still follow that same example. But there are many wicked ministers in the world today, and they will arrogantly seek to use the ministry as a means of personal gain for themselves. Now, over the past several weeks, we have seen Jude describing these wicked leaders. These wicked leaders. In our study last time, you remember, we saw the character of these wicked leaders outlined for us. We saw, first of all, their character was stated. You remember the Bible says they are filthy dreamers. Remember? Filthy dreamers. But then not only did we see their character stated, we saw their character was revealed. And it was revealed by the things that they do. Remember, you know them by their fruit. Right? That's what Jesus said. You know what a person is by the fruit that is that's being produced. And so their character was revealed by the fruit, by the things that were manifested through them. We saw three things. First of all, they defile. You remember we saw they defile themselves like the men of Sodom. They despise. They hate God's authority, just like those angels that are bound in chains who kept not their first estate, but entered into an area where they had no business being. And they disregard. They speak evil of God, just like those 10 spies who told the nation of Israel. Yes, we know God said we can go in and take the land, but, we're just not real sure we can depend on God. See? That was basically what they were saying. And they disregarded the holiness and the character of God. Well, now Jude continues by showing us the arrogance of wicked leaders. The arrogance of wicked leaders. And there are two ways in our text that their arrogance is revealed. And it's these two points that I want us to consider together for the next few minutes. First of all, when it comes to wicked leaders and the arrogance of wicked leaders, their arrogance, first of all, it is seen in their words. It is seen in their words. It would be tonight for me, it would be the height of arrogance for me to stand up in a medical school and pass myself off as a professor teaching students the fine points of brain surgery. Now, I used to tell people when I was in Bible college, I worked in a hospital. I told people that when I worked in the hospital, I was a part-time brain surgeon. The rest of the time, I was washing pots and pans down in the kitchen. But if I tried to pass myself off as a brain surgeon, that would be a foolish thing indeed, simply because of the fact I've never learned the basics of brain surgery myself. Therefore, I would be talking about things that I know absolutely nothing about. And I would also be talking of things that I probably cannot even begin to understand.
Say.
So it would be lunacy for me to try to stand up and pass myself off as a teacher of brain surgery. And yet, in the field of religion, that's exactly what false teachers do. That's exactly what false teachers do. Notice in verse number 10 now in the book of Jude. In verse number 10, Jude says this. He's talking about these false teachers that he has just described for us through the previous 9 verses. He said, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Speak evil of things that they don't even understand. They have no knowledge of it. And yet they speak evil. They speak evil of those things. In other words, because they do not know what they are talking about, they turn the wonders of God's truth into evil lies. And that is the height of spiritual arrogance. And we can understand the heights of their arrogance when we consider 2 points together. First of all, their spiritual condition. Their spiritual condition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, the Bible talks about the natural man. The natural man. The man who knows nothing of the grace of God. The man who has never trusted in Christ as his Savior. And it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And that is the problem. That is the problem. Because the natural man is spiritually dead in sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It is impossible for him to spiritually separate truth from error. Because he is spiritually dead, it's impossible for him to be able to tell right from wrong. He is spiritually dead. The things of God make their foolishness to him. They're foolishness to him. And so therefore, to the natural, unsaved man, the spiritual things of God are foolishness, and they are unknowable. But wicked leaders refuse to admit their ignorance. They refuse to admit their ignorance. Rather, they go about making, letter B, their spiritual claims. Their spiritual claims. They are natural men, but they claim to be God's men. They claim to be God's men. And because they are spiritually dead, they have no real spiritual insight. They have no real spiritual understanding. And yet they claim to be experts in telling other people God's truth. A familiar example. Turn to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And certain men." Now you'll immediately notice these are called men. They're not called brethren. In fact, if you do a cross-reference search and go to the book of Galatians, you'll find they are referred to as false brethren. In other words, these are men who are claiming to be men of God. They are claiming to be men who are acquainted with and they know God's truth. They are passing themselves off in that way. And yet the Bible says that these certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." To the natural Jew, that sounded logical. Amen. Yeah, got to be circumcised. You want to be saved? Got to be circumcised. Yeah, we like that. Yeah, that sounds logical to the natural Jew. But to a Jew who had been born again by the grace of God, they understood that that was an absolute heretical teaching. It was a heretical teaching. That's why in verse number 2 of Acts chapter 15, the Bible says, "Therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them." Notice, no small. You know what that means? That means really big. Okay? It was a serious matter. But unfortunately, not all true believers are spiritual. Not all true believers are spiritual. That's why even in the church, in Acts chapter 15 and verse number 5, there were some believers who got sucked into this teaching that was coming from unsaved teachers who had gained the ear of the church. When unsaved men are teaching believers, you're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. When unsaved men are teaching and promoting themselves as men of God, and saved people begin to listen and look to them and follow them, there's going to be problems. And here at the church in Jerusalem, or in the church in Antioch, there were these false teachers. People are listening. And the result of it was they began to be influenced by what they were hearing from these false teachers. The same thing is true today, folks. Many natural men, unsaved men, claiming to be men of God, stand and preach things that are not right. Say, how do you know? Check the book. Compare what they say with what God says. See? And so they blaspheme by questioning God's word. They blaspheme by denying God's truth. They blaspheme by perverting God's gospel. And not only are the unsaved damned by their heretical teachings, but many times even true believers are led astray because they are sucked in by the powerful personalities of these natural men who pass themselves off as men of God. Arrogance of the wicked leaders, speaking of things that they have no real knowledge of. Number two, not only is the arrogance of these wicked leaders seen in their words, it is seen in their works. The Bible says in verse number 10 concerning these wicked leaders, "But what they know naturally. As brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Now, these are natural men. They are operating in the realm of the natural. And what they naturally know, Jude is very clear here, they are like brute beasts. In other words, just like an animal, these wicked teachers follow their natural instincts. That's what a brute beast does. Just follows his instincts. How many watched The Dog Whisperer? Oh, all right. Good show, right? We got to hurry. You know, it comes on. No, I just did. But Dog Whisperer. One of the amazing things. He said on the show one time, he said, you know what? Dogs don't sit and plan. You know, a lot of people have the idea, oh, that dog, he's sitting there. He's waiting on me. You know, he's watching for me. No, dogs don't sit and plan. They just have instinct. They react. That's the way of the natural beast. That's the way of the natural man. He follows his own natural instincts. He follows his natural reasonings. He follows his natural feelings. And therefore, the wicked leader corrupts himself. But not only that, he corrupts others by using his influence to lead men contrary to what the Word of God says. And so as we've already seen before in our section, the wicked leader brings God's judgment upon himself. In fact, Jude reemphasizes that in verse number 11 concerning these natural men who are like brute beasts who are corrupting themselves. In verse number 11, Jude said, "Woe unto them. Woe unto them." And now Jude is going to give us three examples. He's going to give us three examples which illustrate for us the arrogant workings of wicked leaders. He's going to give us three illustrations. Their arrogance is seen, first of all, in their way. Notice it in verse number 11. The Bible says, concerning these wicked leaders, they have gone in the way of Cain. They have gone in the way of Cain. Now you remember the story of Cain. Remember the story of Cain. A couple of things that we ought to remember. First of all, Cain's example. Cain's example. Adam and Eve, created by God, placed in the Garden of Eden, given all the bounty of the garden, they could eat freely of all the trees except one. God said, this tree right here, don't eat this tree. Don't eat this tree. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I know some people say it was an apple tree. You know what I think, right? I think it was a durian tree. But anyway, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God said, don't eat that tree. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. But Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God. They ate the fruit that God had told them that they were not to eat. As a result of that sin, they spiritually died and their fellowship with God was broken. But God came down in the cool of the evening and He met with them and He dealt with them. And God provided, you remember, through the shedding of a blood sacrifice, God provided for them a coat of skin. Had to shed blood to get that skin. That skin didn't have a zipper on it. He had to shed blood to get that skin. And through the shedding of a blood sacrifice, God provided a covering for them. He provided clothing for them. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21 that unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and He clothed them. He clothed them physically with the skin, but He also clothed them spiritually with the blood. The blood cleansed them. The skins covered them. And so we see Cain's example. He heard about that. He heard how that sin was dealt with by the shedding of blood. But then we see Cain's choice in Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 5, Cain made a choice. The Bible says Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Now he knew from the example he's supposed to bring blood, but he brought the fruit of the ground. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain chose to do his own thing. Cain chose to go his way. Instead of following the example that had been given to him through what God did for Adam and Eve, his parents, Cain decided he was going to do his own way. Going to do his own way. Result, God said, Cain, I won't accept it. I won't accept it. Notice Cain's response, number 3. Cain's response, instead of humbling himself and doing things God's way, instead of humbling himself and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I've played the fool. I'm going to go now and I'm going to bring a lamb and I'm going to offer a blood sacrifice as I should have before. Instead of doing that, Cain became angry. And he killed his brother. Killed his brother. You know why he did that? The Bible gives us the answer. Look at it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, Cain was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did Cain kill his brother? Here's the answer. Because his own works were evil. And his brother's were righteous. That's the same way with all ungodly leaders today. They arrogantly, just like Cain, they arrogantly reject God's way of salvation. The Bible makes it very clear, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet instead of humbly submitting to God's way of salvation, these wicked leaders go about teaching their way of salvation. Their way of salvation. In other words, they are like the Jews the Apostle Paul spoke of in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 3 when he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. That's the way of Cain. That's the way of the wicked leader. They ignore what God says, and they come up with their own way. Oh, you want to be saved? Then you have to believe on Jesus, of course. But also you must do this, and do this, and do this, and do this over here. And then you can... No, that's not what the Bible... See, that's the way of Cain. That's the way wicked leaders are. We see their way. Their way. Why would men arrogantly seek to lead others in a way that leads to eternal death? Why would men arrogantly seek to lead others in a way that leads to eternal torment? Well, the answer is seen in the next example, which shows their greed. Their greed. In verse number 11, not only do they go in the way of Cain, but notice it, verse 11, they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Now you remember the story in Numbers 22 to 25, the Moabites were filled with fear when they saw the great host of the nation of Israel. And therefore King Balak called for Balaam to come and to place a curse on the people of Israel. But after praying to the Lord God, Balaam refused. He said, I cannot go. And King Balak sent his servants a second time and asked Balaam to come and to curse the people of Israel. And this time the king offered to Balaam great honors, and he offered him great riches if he would curse God's people. Numbers 22:17. Again, Balaam prayed. And this time God allowed him to go with the condition that he would only speak what God told him to speak. Therefore, when Balaam arrived, instead of cursing the people of Israel, he actually blessed them. He blessed them three times. And the Bible says in Numbers 24, verse 10 and verse 11, it says, "And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I tell thee to curse mine enemies. And behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor." I was going to give you all this money, and I was going to give you all this position and power. I was going to make you the top dog. But God just kind of ruined it for you. Because you chose to follow Him, you're not getting anything. But Balaam had a problem. Balaam had a problem with greed. He hated to see all of that power slip away. He hated to see all of that wealth get out of his hands. See, the Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse 15, that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. He wanted the money. He wanted the wealth. He wanted the prosperity. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And so Balaam devised a way to help King Balak without going against the Word of God. He basically said, you know, I can't curse these people, King. God told me I can't curse them. They're God's chosen people. But let me just give you a little inside information. Go down there and just join with them. And invite them to join in your feastings and in your celebrations. Call it a cultural experience. And get them to join with you and cause them to sin. And I got news for you, King. You won't have to worry about it. Because if you lead them into sin, God Himself will destroy them. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. In Numbers chapter 25, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." It's exactly what Balaam had told them to do. And because of that, in chapter 25, verse number 9, those that died in the plague were 24,000. Balaam's plan worked like a charm. And that's why when Israel finally destroyed the Moabites, the Lord God commanded that Balaam also was to be destroyed. Numbers chapter 31, verse number 8. You see, Balaam, bottom line, Balaam had no love for the people of God. Balaam had no love for the people that God loved. Balaam only used them in order to enrich himself. That was his main desire. That was his main desire. Peter spoke of this very same thing when he says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 3, again speaking about false teachers, he says, "Through covetousness shall they with feigned words. In other words, they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. Whatever you want to hear, that's what they'll tell you. Through feigned words, they will make merchandise of you. False teachers care nothing about the eternal souls of people whom God loves and for whom Jesus died. They're only looking for an easy way to get rich quick off of religion. That's false teacher. The way of Cain. The way of Balaam. Notice number three, their quest. It's not just for financial gain, it's also for power. Notice again in verse number 11. And perishing after the gainsaying of Korah. You can read about Korah over in Numbers chapter 16. You remember Korah was the one who wanted to overthrow Moses. God said about Moses, this is my man right here. This is the one I've chosen. He's the one who's to be the leader. He's the one who's to bring Israel out and bring them in. This is the man I have ordained to be the leader over the people of Israel. But Korah wanted the power. He wanted the honor. He wanted the prestige that Moses had. And so Korah raised up a rebellion against Moses. Raised up a rebellion. Wicked leaders. Wicked leaders are driven by that same motivation. Remember the Pharisees? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 and verse 6, all their works they do for to be seen of God and to glorify Him. Is that what it says? No. No, all the works they do to be seen of men. They do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. Phylacteries are pieces of paper that had the law written on it. And it became like a badge that they would wear. And they would make, they didn't just have a little strip with some script. I mean, they made it broad. I mean, it was A4 size, you know, right? You know, just right there, you know. They broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. Their quest, what was it? They wanted position. They wanted power. That's exactly the way the false leaders today. Very same way. Arrogance. Arrogance of the wicked leaders is seen in the way they change God's way of salvation. Arrogance of wicked leaders is seen in the way that they love money more than they love God's truth. The arrogance of wicked leaders is seen today in the way they desire to have a power that allows them to exalt themselves to rule over others. That's the way of the wicked leader. But their end will be just like the end of Korah. You remember the end of Korah? The Bible says there came a day when God said to Moses, separate yourself from Korah and his group. And when they had separated, the Bible says that the earth literally opened up and Korah and all of his followers went straight down into hell and God closed the earth up on them. Serious thing. And lest we follow those wicked leaders to their certain destruction, we need to be careful that we judge all things. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. We keep coming back to it, don't we? Need to be careful that we judge all things. By what does the Word of God say? Those believers heard the preaching, but then they searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that what they heard with their ear agreed with what God said in His Word. This is the only way, folks, that we will avoid being led astray by those wicked leaders who follow the way of Cain, who follow after the way of Balaam, who follow after the way of Korah. May God help us to be wise, lest we be deceived. Let's pray. Father, thank You this evening for Your Word.